Beautiful Thursday. Hey, Graham here. Just thought I'd do a little live stream at 11 a.m. Hey, if you're watching this live, please share this on any kind of social media you're on. And also drop me a comment. I'd love to hear from you and shout you out and say hello to you. So today is Thursday. It is a beautiful day here in Massachusetts. Today is actually Noah's birthday, my daughter. So it's her 18th birthday today. Wow. So she's an adult today, and I am the father of an adult daughter. That's a scary thing to think of, but hey, wishing her well, and she's a really great young lady and loves God. I'm very, very proud of her and all God has in store for her life. So today I'm doing a bunch of work here at home, about to go to my church office, and this afternoon we're actually going to go and cut a tree down. It's more in honor of Noah's birthday, so Christmas tree and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah. Hey, let me, a few quick housekeeping things as well. If you're new on my YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button down there, or check out some of the links below. What else is going on? I have a video out. It's going to be out this morning as well. I have a new series. I'm going to do 30 teachings on how to hear God's voice. And just trying to plow into this every day and really stretch myself, stretch my faith with that as well. Hey, if anybody's interested, I've been rereading and reading some great books as well on hearing God's voice. So if you're interested in a copy of those, I have a recommended reading list and also some scriptures and thoughts. So I have a PDF that I'm going to be working on and updating every day. So if you're interested in that, send me an email. You'll find my email at my website, or probably some of the links below. I'll put that in there, and I'd be happy to get that to you as well. Good. And this weekend here in Sturbridge, I'll be teaching again live on hearing God's voice. I'm going to talk about one of the greatest keys I know about hearing God's voice is, how do we move away from subjectivity? I think anybody who's honest about hearing from God would admit that it's quite a subjective proposition. At times, we're not quite sure, is it God, is it me, is it the devil, is it pizza, whatever. And I'm going to really give people some keys about moving away from subjectivity when it comes to hearing from God. So I will be live streaming that at 11 a.m. this coming Sunday, or you can join us in person as well. Good. Well, this COVID thing seems to still be raging all over the world. And hey, prayers for, I've got several friends, a pastor friend of mine in Texas, some friends in the UK going through that right now. So I actually want to do set down a whole bunch of thoughts about COVID just several months in now as we look at that. But, this thing is certainly real. And let me say this, COVID's real, and you do not want to get it, but obviously for most people to get it, it won't be that serious, but for some it will. Today, here's something I've been thinking about as well. The government is not our enemy. We step into danger as Christians when we automatically assume the government's our enemy and everything they're doing is about clamping down the church. As a great friend of mine once said to me, government's just people. It's just people. And is government corrupt? Well, yeah, in a sense, because everybody in government is a sinner. And they're people. But, we should not necessarily assume that everything's has a ill intent. And yet, at the same time, we should also stand up for our freedoms and our rights and our... I was saying to Leah yesterday, I'm not looking to close my church down. I respect everybody who can't come. If necessary, I'll go into the parking lot or into the woods. But, worship is as essential as buying toilet paper or anything else you feel you may want to do in life. So it really is important that we keep that connection. And everybody's got to figure that out in the right way. And I really respect those who feel, hey, I can't gather in person in the church right now. But I would encourage everybody to... gather online if you can't be there in person and connect with your church. Many churches are really suffering. I know many churches here in New England have closed down this season. I was talking to a church the other day and there's like 4 people left in a church. And my point is be part of that. Be Be committed, even if you can't be there. Be with your tribe. Good. Hey, let me share something else I was thinking today. Let me ask you a question. What's the greatest trap Satan can ever set for a believer? What's Satan's greatest weapon? You know, I'm not big into Satan. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about him. In the 1980s, like a lot of people, I got into deliverance. Sort of had a deliverance ministry and spend time chasing demons. And now I just spend time. I don't even spend time chasing God. I think God spends time chasing us. I'm not that big into Satan. But, you know, the Bible actually says twice that when we see Satan, when all of this thing is wrapped up, when we see Satan, we're gonna literally look at him and go, is that him? Is that the one who deceived the nations? Is that really who it was? And Satan's power is the power of deception. And here's just a quick thought for you today, but the greatest power Satan has in our life is the power to deceive. And I think the greatest deception, let me pull on that one further, that Satan can ever lead us into is this. Satan loves it when we spend time trying to get what we have already got. Say that again. Satan loves it when we spend time trying to acquire what we already have. Satan loves it when the church spends time asking God to give what he's already given. You know, when you ask God to give you what he's already given you, you're praying a prayer that God can never answer. And, you know, it's been interesting being in live prayer meetings or online prayer meetings recently. I catch myself noticing how often people pray and they're asking God to give them what they've already got. Dear Lord, give me what I've already got. You know, most of us in that kind of evangelical world, we've settled some things in our hearts as regards salvation. And if you were to see me in a prayer meeting and I were praying, God save me, please save me, please save me, please save me, God, please save me, God, please save me. Hopefully most of you would come and say, hey, Graham, your problem's not with God. What you need to do, Graham, is realize what Jesus did at Calvary, what he accomplished. And you need to, by faith, receive what Jesus gave. Amen? And yet, so often at a whole other, we've accepted that where it comes to salvation. But at a whole lot of levels, we're doing that in many other areas of our life where we're asking God to give or to do what he's already done. And again, when we major in prayer in asking God to do what he's already done, we're actually denying ourselves and actually denying the Lord the power of breakthrough. You know, the Bible says a lot about the joy of breakthrough. Jesus said, ask and receive. Why? That your joy may be full. Or literally, that your joy may be overflowing. And when we find joy in the form of prayer rather than the result of breakthrough, we enter once more into religion, form without substance, a form of godliness denying the power thereof. So it's really important, rather than we spend time asking God for what we have, rather that we learn to receive by faith, we appropriate what God's already given. Let me give you four quick keys to doing that. Number one, we should be praying. The greatest prayer we can pray is, Lord, show me what I have. I remember hearing Kenneth Hagin once say that he spent 2 years every single day praying Ephesians 1, that great prayer from Ephesians 1, 15 through 20, where Paul prays, Lord, open the eyes of our understanding. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Open the eyes of our understanding. Let our hearts be enlightened that we know the hope of our calling, the riches of the glories of your inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe. And I think Hagin says he just kept making that prayer a first-person prayer. Lord, open my eyes, the eyes of my understanding. Show me what the hope of my calling is. And he said literally over 2 years, it's like he nearly threw away or discarded all of the things he'd believed for so many years. And God began showing him and giving him revelation that he was to run upon and teach for many other years. So how do we move away from begging God to give us what we've got, or simply living in nothing land. Number one, I think we should be consistently saying, Lord, show me what I have. Open the eyes of my understanding, show me what I have. Number two, we should be saying, Lord, give me revelation of what I have, because it's possible to have head knowledge. It's possible to understand in our heads good theology, good teaching, if you will, and not have revelation in our hearts. John the Baptist said a man can receive nothing except he receive it from above, receive it by revelation. And we don't need only good doctrine in our head, but we need revelation in our hearts. Third prayer I like to pray is, Lord, lead me into a lifestyle of fullness. Lord, help me to live in what I have in the fullness. So I stop asking you to give me something. Let's say I stop saying, God, show me you love me, pour your love out on me, pour your love on me. What I should be praying is, Lord, help me live that overflowing life of your love. And lastly, a great prayer to pray is, Lord, help me build a lifestyle. Help me build a personal culture, if you will, around this truth, knowing that I don't need to ask you for this thing, knowing that I already have it. Lord, let me live in the fullness of it. Let me build a lifestyle that's constantly reminding me of that. God came to the Jewish people, if you will, the chosen people. He chose them. And then he declared them to be chosen. He declared them, in a sense, to be holy, a sanctified, a set-apart nation. And then he knew that they would forget about it so easily. There's something about us. We can have an encounter with God and just, walk away from it so easily. And if you think about what God did with the Jewish people, is he actually gave them a culture. He gave them Moses. The culture didn't evolve over time. It literally came by UPS or by Moses. Moses came down from heaven with the blueprint of the culture of Israel, all built around the temple, built around the presence of God. And every single thing, if you think about the Jewish feast days, the rituals, the temple, the every little thing they do, the laws, so much of what they would do was, it was like God was baking into their lifestyle a way of remembering you're the head and you're not the tail. God is our provider. God would be constantly in their thoughts. They couldn't get away from God for more than a few minutes. And I say that lovingly to us in the West, but we're very good at getting away from God. I don't mean we want to. I simply mean our lives are just packed full of entertainment and distractions and many, many great things that we can do. But we should be, I am interested in baking a lifestyle where I'm reminded about who God is and about who I am in him, about what God says he can and will do, but what God says I can and that I will do as well. So bake that into a lifestyle. Good. Hey, thanks for watching, guys. So I'm trying to come back most mornings with a little live stream here. And again, I have another video going live on my YouTube channel within the next hour, part one of how to hear God's voice. So, hey, if I can pray for you, let me know. I'd be really happy to do that. And also, again, I have a PDF. Just I'm going to be collecting thoughts and resources, teaching on hearing God's voice, that I'd love to send to you completely free. So send me an email if you'd like that. Hey, I am blessing you and cheering you on this day. Have a great day, guys. Bye for now.